three songs this morning, none of which are in any of our books. We're going to do Tell Me the Story of Jesus first. So take that full sheet, and we'll do the first song on that. Tell Me the Story of Jesus.
Half sheet that you have, we'll do Lead Me to Calvary. Bible, would you please open to 1 Corinthians chapter number 11, please? 1 Corinthians chapter number 11. As always, at least since I've been doing this, I think this will be month number 3 since I've been doing this Lord's table. And I always like to read 1 Corinthians 11, verses 23 to 32. Within this text, I believe that we have pretty much the concentration of what we need to focus on as we come to the Lord's table this morning. Paul said under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit in verse number 23 of 1 Corinthians 11, he said, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup of the Lord, New Testament, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world." There's a few basic thoughts in this chapter that we need to just be mindful of as we come to the Lord's table. The first thing is, this table is for those that are already saved. If you're not saved, this table won't mean anything to you. In fact, if you're not saved, we're hoping by the end of this service that you'll get saved. Amen. But this is for the Lord's people. If you are saved, you are more than welcome to partake. The reason we take the Lord's table is a reminder. It reminds us of the death of Jesus Christ, what he did for us. We'll hold the matzah and we'll remember his body. We'll hold the juice and we'll remember his blood. His crucifixion is what we're remembering today as we sang that song, "Lest I Forget Gethsemane." Gethsemane was right before Calvary. We know that in Gethsemane, the Lord just battled, if you will, you know, "If this cup is able to pass from me, but if not, thy will be done." And we know Jesus drank that bitter cup of God's judgment on that cross for you and I that are saved. We don't have a physical picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have this memorial, which is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, in particular, his death. And so the whole reason for the Lord's table is not so we can get grace, but that we can remember the grace that we have already received because of what Jesus did for us. In fact, the Bible says, "You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Though he was rich, yet he became poor, that you through his poverty might be rich." He was rich certainly in righteousness, and we were poor. He died on that cross, took our judgment to give us his salvation, his righteousness, if you will. So the first thing is, we come to the Lord's table as a reminder of what he did for us. But we also have to keep in mind that it was sin that brought him to this world, and it was sin that brought him to the cross. As we come to the table as his people, may there not be sins in our life as we partake of this table. We, thank God, have the privilege of confessing our sins to the Lord and getting them right with the Lord. In fact, in the text we read, he says, listen, don't eat of the table in an unworthy state. That means this: don't, as a Christian, in sin, partake of the table. You say, what am I supposed to do? Judge yourself. Examine yourself. In fact, I encourage people to ask the Lord to help you examine yourself, because we're all biased and there are things we don't see about ourselves. And so it's not bad to say, search me, O Lord. Try me. See if there be any wicked way in me, and then lead me in the way everlasting. In other words, help me to acknowledge anything that I need to confess. Thank God for forgiveness. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In fact, my encouragement always is, as the elements are handed out, as the instruments playing, it's a wonderful time just to commune with the Lord. Make sure everything's okay between us and our Lord. Amen. And if everything is, it's a wonderful time just to thank God for what he did for us. And then finally, we understand it's a memorial, and thank God we can get things clean and right between us and the Lord. And may we do that this morning. I'm going to ask Brother Chris if he'd be so kind to pray and thank the Lord as we remember the body in the element of this matzah. And then we'll hand out the element, please.
Father,
we
thank you, Lord, for the bruised body of the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for his nail-pierced feet, hands. Thank you, the sore pierced side of blood flowed from him, hallelujah. Just thank you, Lord, by his stripes were healed. Yes, we just thank you for the privilege of taking this supper together today. Thank you, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Repeat again what Paul the Apostle said. The Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." You may partake. Brother Ralph, if he'd be so kind to pray and thank the Lord for this juice that is a reminder of the precious blood of our Savior.
Our Father, as we continue in this communion service, we thank you for the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that he came. He didn't have to. He was righteous and holy. He did not deserve the death on the cross that he bore. But yet for our sakes he came. We thank him so much for obeying the Father's will and coming to this earth. We pray that as we commemorate the blood that was shed, that we would not forget what he has done for us until he comes again. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
I continue to read, Paul the Apostle said, after the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. You may partake.
All right. Announcements this morning. Don't forget, as we just had communion, every time we have communion, there's an extra basket in the back there for our deacons' fund. If you are interested in contributing to that and helping meet the needs of some folks in the church that might need it, there's the basket there in the back. And let's be faithful in our regular giving as well. Lord has been really good to us, and we thank him for the opportunities that we are able to have to give to him. And most of you know this already, but We don't pass an offering plate here. There's an offering box in the back, and what you choose to give is between you and the Lord. And it's up to you. And sometimes we're able to give, and sometimes we can't, based on what the Lord gives us at the time. So we're thankful for what God is doing here at the church. Next Sunday, we've had a number of new folks join the church. And so the old address list that we had is very outdated. And so, Lord willing, next Sunday I will have a new one printed, and those of you who would like one can have one. Okay? So that'll be coming out next Sunday. And then this last announcement is normally an announcement that Jim Bush would give, but he's unable to be here today. I'm not sure what happened, but let's pray for him. But anyway, next Sunday, following the morning service, we will be having a brief business meeting. When our pastor went home to be with the Lord, we made an agreement to help cover the expense of having his obituary put in the newspaper and the morning call. And so that amount is $574, and according to our Constitution, any expense over $300 is to be agreed upon by the voting members of the church. And so we'll be taking care of that following the morning service next Sunday morning. Okay? So I trust that it shouldn't take too long, but we wanted to make you aware of that. Those are the only announcements that I'm aware of right now. So let's take our full sheet of paper again. We're going to do Redeemed. It's the different tune than the one that's in our hymn book. Let's stand, please, if you're able to.
Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb.
Moses told the king to let my people go. The frogs, the lice, and things. Pharaoh still said no, but the angel of the Lord, he passed by in the night to destroy each firstborn, and he could only spare a life when he saw the blood, a picture of God's Son. Grace and wondrous love for the ransom to be paid. A sacrifice was made, washed in a crimson flood when he saw the blood. Abram took his son up the mountain of the Lord. Behold the fire and wood, but Father, where's the lamb? But they took God at his word, and the altar was prepared. In the woods was caught a ram, and Isaac's life was spared when he saw the blood. Picture of God's Son. And he looked down from heaven above in mercy, grace, and wondrous love for a ransom to be paid. A sacrifice was made, washed in a crimson flood when he saw the blood. He prayed to his father, let this cup pass from me, but not my will, but thine be done. No other lamb would need. The sky grew dark, the thunder crashed, they pierced his hands and side. His blood was spilled on the ground, Jesus suffered. Then he died, and he saw the blood. It was his Son, and he looked down from heaven above in mercy, grace, and wondrous love for a ransom to be paid. A sacrifice was made, washed in a crimson flood when he saw the blood. He saw the blood. He saw the blood.
The blood, amen. Blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us. Amen. Thank the Lord. The question was asked in Genesis 22, where is the Lamb? And it was answered in John 1:29, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Amen. And thank God for that. Well, praise the Lord. It's been a sweet spirit this morning, and I'm thankful. Great hymns too, brother. One of my favorite hymns is, he is so precious to me. Amen. And anyway, if you have a Bible, would you please turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. For the last 2 months, and now this will be the third month, I've been preaching the same message, just different points about the Lord's table. And 1 Corinthians chapter 11, which we've been reading each month, we're talking about the fact that the Lord's table, as we read in this text, it provokes us to look in different directions, three different directions in particular. We've been focusing on the fact that the Lord's table causes us to look backward. Look with me, if you would, please, in verse 23 to 26. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23 to 26, Paul said, "For I received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he took bread, in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This is the cup of the New Testament in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Verse 26 is the verse that tells us why we are taking these elements and what picture we are thinking about. And it says in verse 26, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come." This Lord's table makes us look backward to the cross of Christ. We said in the last two months, that looking back to the cross, when we do, it reminds us of a few things. It reminds us of God's pardon. God's pardon. Because of the cross, we have forgiveness. In fact, the Bible says in Colossians 2:14 that the law was contrary to us, but it was nailed to Jesus Christ on that cross, and it was abolished, and it was taken out of the way. And what that means is this: the law condemns us. According to the law, we're all sinners and we all fall short of the glory of God. We would deserve judgment, but on the cross of Calvary, Jesus Christ was nailed to that cross, and the law was satisfied on that cross by the Lord Jesus Christ. In the satisfying of the law, Jesus Christ paid our debt, as we were talking about earlier. In fact, one of the favorite songs I like to sing is, "He paid a debt he did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay. I needed Jesus to wash my sins away." Amen. And so when I look back at the cross, I'm reminded of God's pardon. God, the fact that God through that cross has washed away, cleansed, and forgiven us all our sins. And thank God for that. But not only do we think of the fact of the pardon of God when we look back at the cross. Last time I preached this a month ago, we talked about the fact that when we look back at the cross, we also remind it of the power of God. The power of God. In fact, in 1 Corinthians 1:18, the Bible says, "The preaching of the cross is foolishness to them that do not believe. But to you and I, it's the power of God." Amen. When we look at that cross, we see the power of God. In fact, in the book of Colossians, we mention chapter 2, verse 14, referring to the fact that the cross was the key to forgiveness of our sins. In chapter 2, verse number 15, it says that Jesus triumphed over principalities and so on by that cross. The cross of Jesus Christ is what crushed the devil's head. Amen. In Genesis chapter 3, verse number 14, you remember that God said that he would put enmity between the devil and between the seed of the woman, who was the Lord Jesus Christ. He would crush the serpent's head, but he would bruise his heel. The Lord Jesus Christ was bruised, no doubt about it. But on that cross, the devil was crushed. Amen. The power of God is seen in the cross. In fact, turn with me, if you would, please, to the book of Hebrews, chapter number 2. Hebrews chapter number 2. When I see the cross, I'm reminded of the pardon of God, of the forgiveness of God, but I'm also reminded of the power of God, how that the cross was the instrument that God used to crush the devil's head and, by the way, set us free. Amen. Hebrews chapter number 2, would you look with me please in verse number 14. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse number 14, the Bible says this: "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also," referring to Jesus, "he also himself likewise took a part of the same." Why? Why did Jesus become a man? Why did he become a human being? "That through death," and that's the death of the cross, by the way, Philippians chapter 2 talks about that. He was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And we find an Old Testament picture, even in the song that was sung in Genesis chapter 22, how that Isaac was a willing picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, carrying the wood to the place of crucifixion, willing to lay down his life for the Father, amen, and for you and I. And it goes on to say that he through death might destroy him that had power of death, the power of death. And that is what? The devil. Jesus Christ, by the cross of Calvary, destroyed the power of the devil. Amen? In fact, turn to 1 John chapter 3, if you would, please, as another proof text of this. Thank God for the cross. It reminds me of God's pardon, and it reminds me of God's power. 1 John chapter number 3, if you would please, and I want you to look at verse number 8 and 9. 1 John chapter 3, verse number 8 and 9. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. Now look at the rest of the verse in verse number 8. For this purpose, for what purpose? For the fact that we were stuck in sin. We were stuck in sin. Watch this. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. On the cross, not only did Jesus destroy the devil, he destroyed the work of the devil. And by the way, because he destroyed the work of the devil, he destroyed the work of the devil in our own lives. Amen? And therefore, we don't have to be stuck in sin no more. We don't have to live in sin. Oh, we cannot be perfect and we cannot be sinless, but we can be much more different than we are because of the power of the cross. Amen? For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, might destroy the works of the devil. The cross reminds us of the power of God. And by the power of God, by the way, not only is the devil defeated, by the power of the cross, believers are delivered. In fact, somebody quoted earlier, I believe it was Brother Chris, in praying. Would you look with me, please, at a verse he quoted, 1 Peter chapter number 2. It's a wonderful, wonderful verse. 1 Peter chapter 2, would you look at verse number 24? The cross of Calvary, in the power of God, the cross crushed the devil and by the grace of God set us free. Amen? Because Satan had us bound, by the way. But Jesus set us free. Look at 1 Peter chapter 2. Look at verse number 24. In the context, it's talking about the cross. Watch what it says. Who his own self, and that's Jesus, bare our sins in his own body on the tree. That's the cross right there. On the cross, God laid all our sin on him. And here's what it says. That we, being dead to sins, should what? Live unto righteousness. Why did he die? Not just to pay for our sins, but to give us the ability to live unto righteousness. Before Calvary, I could not live the righteous kind of life that God wanted me to live before Calvary. Amen? But thanks to Calvary, I'm not what I used to be. Thanks to Calvary, I have hope of becoming more and more what God wants me to be. Amen? And here's what it says, that we should live under righteousness. And the last quote is, by whose stripes we are what? Healed. That's not just forgiven. That's delivered. Because of the cross of Calvary, the devil's been destroyed. We've been delivered. We've been set free. Amen. I want you to note another text before me. Would you go backwards to Titus chapter 2? Titus chapter number 2. And I want you to look at verse number 14. Oh, we've been delivered. Thanks to the cross. Amen. Titus chapter number 2. I want you to look with me in verse number 14. Titus chapter 2, verse number 14, if you would. Notice what the Bible says. Again, by the way, when I read this first statement, I can't help but think about the cross. Who gave himself for us. To me, that's the cross right there. Who gave himself for us. Why? That he might what? Redeem us from what? All iniquity. And do what? Purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Because of the cross and because of the crucifixion, we've been redeemed. We just got done singing. You know what redeemed is? It means to be bought back. The love of God. How rich and pure. How measureless and free. Amen. In fact, that wonderful, wonderful hymn talks about Adam and Eve in the garden and sinning and God's love coming to the rescue. Amen. And the fact of the matter is, you and I were sold. Amen. We were sold, but Jesus Christ paid the debt. In fact, the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom. You know what a ransom is? Somebody takes somebody hostage and somebody else has got to pay to set them free. Jesus Christ paid the price to buy us back to God, to reconcile us, to bring us back into an agreement with God, and to deliver us from the clutches of evil. Amen. Look at Galatians, if you would, chapter number 1. Oh, when we look back at the cross, we can see the pardon of God, but we can also see the power of God. When you come to that cross, not only are you forgiven, but thank God you're delivered, and I'm delivered because of Calvary. We don't have to be what we used to be. Amen. Galatians chapter number 1, if you would, please. Galatians chapter number 1. I want you to look with me in verse number 4. Galatians chapter 1 and verse number 4. Notice what the Bible says. By the way, again, the first part of this verse reminds me of the cross. Who gave him, it's amazing, both of those scriptures, who gave himself. We know, by the way, Jesus gave himself. Amen. No man took his life. He what? Laid it down. Amen. Who gave himself for our sins. That he might what? Deliver us from this present evil world. He didn't just die to pay sin's penalty for us. He died to deliver us, to rescue us. Amen. Thank God for it. I want to give you this thought this morning to add on. What we just did was we went over the last 2 months that we spoke about this. The cross 2 months ago, we talked about it reminds us of the pardon of God. Last month we talked about it reminds us of the power of God. But let me give you this thought as we close up this morning services. When I look back at the cross, it reminds me of the promise of God. The promise of God. And what is that promise? That promise is this, that we are forgiven forever. Forgiven forever. There are people who believe it's wrong for you to think that once you're saved, you're always saved. There are people who believe that you can lose your salvation. But I want you to know that when I see the cross, that cross reminds me not only did Jesus die for my forgiveness, but he died for my eternal forgiveness. I'm not just forgiven temporary. By the way, I give unto them eternal life, not temporary life. Amen. I want you to look with me for a moment, please. Turn to Hebrews chapter number 9. I want you to see this. Hebrews chapter number 9. We're just going to look at a few different verses and we're going to close up with this point. When we look at that cross, not only do we see the pardon of God and the power of God, but we see the promise of God. The promise that once you're saved, you're always saved. You can't lose the salvation that God gives you. Amen. By the way, I love the scripture that says we are kept by the power of God. Amen. We're not kept by our own power. We're not kept by our own strength. We're kept by his power, his strength. Amen. I want you to look at Hebrews chapter number 9. Look at verse number 12. Hebrews chapter 9 and look at verse number 12, if you would, please. I want you to see something. It says, neither by the blood of goats and calves. You're talking about the Old Testament sacrificial system. The book of Hebrews, one of the emphases is it lifts up Jesus and shows him to be better than everything about the Old Testament system. Better than the tabernacle system, better than the priesthood, better than the sacrifices. It lifts up Jesus and says he's the best. Amen. And here's what it says in verse 12. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, and that's heaven. Having obtained, what's the next statement? Eternal redemption or salvation for us. Jesus Christ did not die on the cross and suffer in agony for you and I to be temporarily saved. Amen? He purchased an eternal redemption, an eternal salvation for us. Amen? By the way, Why would the book of Hebrews emphasize eternal rather than temporary? Because in the Old Testament, Yom Kippur was something that they had once a year. Once a year, the high priest would go into the holy place and put the blood on the altar, and God would forgive the sins of the nation once a year. But they would have to do it every year, over and over and over. No. This sacrifice and this high priest and this Savior went into the true tabernacle of heaven and put his eternal blood on that altar, and it's not temporary. And forgiven forever is what we are. Amen? And that's the wonderful, wonderful truth of it. When I see the cross, I'm reminded I can't do anything to lose my salvation. By the way, I was saved and I was a bad young man. I got away from the Lord and I did some bad things. I never lost my salvation. I'll tell you what I did. I gained some chastening from heaven. Amen? I want you to note, by the way, I quoted a scripture earlier, John 10, 27 to 30. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice. And I know them. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man shall pluck them out of his hands. I and the Father are one." I heard a preacher, or read a preacher one time, he said that we believers are double padlocked. We're in the hand of Jesus. We're in the hand of God. I might throw in there the triple padlock, because we have the Holy Spirit, who's the seal, the security of the believer. I'm sealed until the day of redemption, the day that Jesus comes back. He'll never leave me, never forsake me. Amen? So I'm triple padlocked. Reminds me of that. I think I might have told you about that fellow in New York City. I went to visit a missionary. He had five locks on his door. Did I tell you about him? I said to him, I said, "Brother, why in the world you got five locks on your door?" He said, "Because I can't afford six." Some places are bad, and you need a lot of security. We are secure in Christ. Does that give us license to go sin against God and do what we want to do? There are many people that say, "I don't believe in that kind of salvation," because that basically tells you can go do whatever. Listen, if God's going to give me a free salvation, I'm not looking to offend him on purpose. That don't make no sense at all. If a man walked up to me and gave me a $100 bill, I'm not going to say, "Oh, now this is my license to go ahead and slap him." I wouldn't do that. I'd be stupid, because I know I ain't getting no more of them. Can I get a witness on that one? Turn to Hebrews. We're in Hebrews. Look at chapter 10 for a moment, please. Hebrews chapter 10. Look at verse number 12. Hebrews 10, verse number 12, if you would, please. And we're coming down. I got just a few more verses. Hebrews chapter 10, look at verse number 12 to 14. But this man, see, this is talking about Jesus in comparison to the other priests. This man, after he had offered one sacrifice. In the Old Testament, many sacrifices. Jesus, one sacrifice. After he had offered one sacrifice for sins, get this, forever. He sat down on the right hand of God. There was no seat in the tabernacle system, because the work was never done. No high priest could sit down in there. The work was never done on earth. But Jesus came and he finished the work that God gave him to do. In fact, on the cross, he said, "It is finished." Amen. Look at verse number 13. From henceforth, expect until his enemies become or be made his footstool. Look at verse 14. For by one offering hath he, see that word, perfected? By the way, you and I that are saved, get this now, we're perfect. Now, I know, I just blew your mind right there, didn't I? You're saying, "Brother Matt, if you lived with me for a little while, you understand I'm not perfect." No, I didn't say conditionally perfect. Positionally perfect. So what do you mean? When he sees me, he sees the blood of the Lamb. He sees me as worthy and not as I am. You know who that is, right? Brother Lawson, Terry Lawson, he sings that. When he sees the blood, that's what he sees, his son. I have his son's righteousness. He doesn't see my condition as perfect. God knows we're not. But positionally, I'm holy, acceptable in his sight. So who made me perfect? Jesus did. He made me positionally perfect. And that's what he's saying. For by one offering hath he perfected. What's the next two words?
forever. Perfected forever. Them that are sanctified, them that are set apart for God. The day you get saved is the day that God sets you apart for Him. Set apart, sanctified forever, forgiven forever, saved forever. Amen. That's the wonderful, wonderful truth. Many of you might be familiar with the book of Philemon. How many are familiar with the book of Philemon? That's a familiar book because it's one chapter. I'm real familiar with that. That was my devotions when I growing up for all the time. Did you do your devotions? Yeah, I did. Did my reading. I read a whole book today. But nonetheless, Philemon owned a slave named Onesimus. Onesimus got in trouble, went to jail for some reason, got saved. Paul sent a letter back and said, hey, Philemon, forgive Onesimus, receive him, restore him. He's saved now, and so on. And here's the statement that Paul made in that verse. He said, listen, think about this, Philemon. Perhaps he left you for a season. Anybody remember what I'm talking about? Perhaps he left you for a season that thou shouldest receive him. What? Forever. You know what Paul's implying? He's implying once you're saved, you're saved forever. Onesimus Philemon is now your brother. He might have left you for a little while, but now as a brother in Christ, you and him are going to be forever together. Amen? Hebrews 13:5. By the way, let me say this. We're looking at all these verses in Hebrews, right? Isn't it ironic? The few verses that people use to tell you you can lose your salvation, guess what book they're found in? The book of Hebrews. I believe there's more assurance written in the book of Hebrews than there is anything. But there's some verses that are hard, totally hard to be totally understood, and people think you could lose your salvation. Let me tell you what I do with the few obscure verses that look like I could lose my salvation. I compare them with all the ones that say you can't. And I say either God's confused, or I just don't quite understand exactly what these things mean. Amen? Hebrews 13:5. Be content. Let your conversation, your lifestyle be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. That is not a conditional promise because it doesn't say if you do this, if you do that. That's a straight out promise. Amen. Titus, let's close with this. Turn to the book of Titus chapter number 1. And we'll close with this verse. When I see the cross, I see the pardon of God. My forgiveness is because of that precious blood that was shed on that cross. When I see that cross, I see the power of God. The life that I now live, I live because Jesus Christ and what he did on that cross, crushing the devil, delivering me. Amen? But when I see that cross, I also realize that when he died for my eternal salvation. Not some temporary thing, amen? It wasn't a temporary fix. It was an eternal fix, amen? He wasn't MacGyver rigging something up, amen? He took care of this thing and took care of it forever, amen? A perfect lamb, a perfect sacrifice, a perfect salvation. Saved from the guttermost to the uttermost, amen? I'm saved to the uttermost. I know that I am. Anybody heard that one before? Washed in the blood of the precious lamb. Amen? And that's the truth there. But anyway, before I read Titus 1:2, let me just say this. The sacrifice of Jesus, get this, is one for all and once for all. And that's what Hebrews says. One for all, once for all. Amen? Everybody can be saved and saved forever. Look at Titus chapter 1. Look at verse number 2. The Bible says this, and I want you to get this and we'll close. Titus chapter, I'm in Timothy, that's not going to help me here. Titus chapter 1, verse number 2, in hope. And by the way, when it talks about hope in the Bible, it's not like we talk about it. Well, I hope so. Hope was a confidence. I know it's going to happen. In hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. The life that he promised us was eternal life, and he cannot lie. Maybe to you, the assurance of your salvation and the assurance of your salvation being eternal doesn't mean a whole lot. But I promise you, when we all come to the end of our journey, can I get a witness? It's going to mean a whole lot to know, thank God, I am saved. Amen. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. In fact, do you think we could sing that in closing? I think that would be a good one. Amen. What is it, brother? 51. Let's see if we've got this right. 51. And Brother Ralph's going to come and we're going to close. Thank God. When we see the cross, we see the pardon of God. We see the power of God. And we see the promise of God. Amen. The promise that we're saved and saved forever. Amen. After the hymn, I'll come back and close us in prayer. Sing that song with a heartfelt, I know I'm saved. We're here for you. You can talk to myself. If you're a lady, you could talk to my wife, and we'd be love to share with you the wonderful words of life from the Bible. Amen. If you're here and you're saved and you've never been baptized, the Lord willing, next month, which would be July the 2nd, we're going to have the Lord's table. And if you've been saved and never baptized by immersion, according to the Bible, please come see us. We'd love to talk to you about that and have that as well if you'd like to get baptized. Let's ask the Lord's blessing. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for the sweet spirit of the gathering today. Thank you for speaking to our hearts. Thank you for meeting with us. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the cross and the fact that we're forgiven because of what Jesus did for us. Thank you for the cross that we're free because of what Jesus did for us. And thank you that this forgiveness is forever because what Jesus did for us. Lord, as we leave this place, we ask for your watch care over us. May everyone get to their destination safely. Give us a blessed day, a blessed week. Lord, if you don't come and we are here, bring us back together again in the week to come. We'll thank and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a great week. Amen.